5 seconds. 5 seconds left in the game.
Over.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Unbelievable. Sure, old-time hockey.
And the number one person of winning the Stanley Cup, my friend, you can't drink beer out of a Nobel Prize.
2 minutes by yourself and you feel shame.
Welcome to Pod Hockey Number One, our experiment in hockey podcasting. All right, we have with us Eric, my brother, the ex-goalie for a while there. And then we have Aunt Mare with us, the ex just about everything. I don't think she was ever a goalie, though. I could be wrong, though.
Only for a short period of time in an emergency situation.
All right, so now we're going to talk about all things hockey, and starting with there's an actual hockey season, which is
woo-hoo!
All good. Yay!
Right.
This is what brings us here today. And the new rules, starting with the whole just revamp rules. First, the no red line does not count towards two-line pass. Is that going to actually defeat the trap? The dreaded evil bad thing that everybody hates, the trap.
Right.
Do you think it's actually going to make the trap go away, or is that going to be the job of the clutching, no clutching rules? I don't think the two-line pass is going to do it. I don't think that's going to be that big a deal. Eric, what do you think?
I think it'll help a lot because it'll keep the defenseman honest, because you can always have that little guy hanging out way back there, and I do believe it'll help, and it'll help with fast breaks. There'll be a lot more fast breaks going without the two-line pass.
Aunt Mare, anything?
Well, I think that it's going to be really good to open it up. I think if the goal is to score more goals, which it certainly seems that way with all the rule changes, that I think it could work. I saw that in my own games. I've been playing long enough where we used to have two-line passes, and then the women's game eliminated that as well, and it seemed to open it up. So if that's the goal of it, it may. We'll see.
And that's another thing. With all these new rules, the new emphasis is on scoring. Is that actually going to make the game better, more exciting? Will it bring extra fans in, which is what they're going for?
I think it's still going to have a lot of trouble relating to TV because there's so much goes on in hockey that you can't see on TV. The TV only shows right where the puck is and right around the puck, and so much of hockey is around the peripheral plays, what happens in the outside, guys going to the open spaces, and you can't see that on TV.
Not like you can when you're there.
Unless
you're somebody who really knows hockey without going all the time, maybe that played it or something like that, it just doesn't translate well to TV no matter what rules they change.
Yeah, it almost sucks away the personality of the players. You don't, for some reason, when you're there live, you see a guy like John LeClair sitting in front of the net and, you know, hammering it out against those guys and getting the goalie all frustrated. And you could see the players' personalities almost as they're duking it out in front of the net. On TV, you see the guy's leg.
That's right.
Just not that exciting.
Or they'll cut to the coaches, or they'll cut to the bench or something ridiculous like that that really is completely irrelevant.
Yeah. All right, that's two-line passing. This is another neat rule that I kind of like. I don't know how much it's going to help make the game more exciting, but I like it, is the if you ice it, you can't change your line rule.
That is a brutal, brutal rule, and I love it because it's just when you're dead and you're getting your ass kicked and you're in your zone and you just want to get it out of there, it'll help for a little bit, but it's not going to help that much because your ass stays on the ice. You can't get off the ice just by icing the puck. You've got to play it out and get it out of your zone before you can get it off the ice. I like it. I'm not sure if it's going to affect anything, but when it comes to when teams are pressing, it's going to be pretty brutal, and it may lead to a goal here or there, but it won't make much of a change, but I still think it's cool.
I think it's a cool thing as well, and I think it is going to lead to more goals, because if you're pinned in your zone, you're tired. And the other team, you know, when you're in the opposite end, when it's harder to get a line change, sometimes the only thing that saves you is an icing. So
exactly.
I think it is going to lead to more goals. I think the other team's just going to be too tired, and it's probably another rule that they put in based on that they thought it would open up the scoring a bit.
I agree that it may lead to more scoring. I don't know how much more. I love it, though. It'll lead to the offensive team having much more grinded out, much more offensive zone play, which I like.
Right. I agree.
To follow along with that offensive zone play is the different sized offensive zone. They made it bigger. They put the blue lines out towards the center a bit more. And that gives the points so much more room where they set up a lot, I noticed in the first game. They set up a lot as if it's almost a power play because they just have so much room. They used to be backing out and running away when the puck starts bouncing out, but now they're pinching because they have enough room to dick around back there and pass it around. And I think that is going to make a huge difference. And combine that with the no icing, you know, can't change on the icing, there's going to be times when you're in your zone forever,
right,
and there's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do.
It's great for power forwards. Power forwards who are, you know, in the corners, digging it out. Grinder guys who just – and grinder lines that just keep it in the other team's zone, keep digging out in the corners with guys messing it up out front. Those guys are going to score a lot of points this season because, A, they're going to draw penalties because they're going to get grabbed, and, B, they're just going to be able to keep it in the end and wear down the opponent's defense, and they won't be able to get off the ice because they won't be able to ice it. And even if they do, they got to stay on the ice. So it's great, and all that room – it is almost like a power play all the time. It's great, and I'm a big fan of the big zone.
Well, you know, they didn't change it all that long ago, and the reason that they had changed it in the first place to put more room back there when they moved the nets out was pretty much the Gretzky rule because he used to set up back there so much. But it was supposed to lead, oddly enough, to more offense. And now they're finding out that really, I think that just the opposite is true. I think there was that now there will be way more, like you said, pinching in from the blue line and getting a lot more quality shots from that standpoint. So
no matter,
I like that as well.
No matter how much room you put behind the net, there's only going to be like two guys or three guys who can camp back there and make it useful, no matter how much room there is. So
right.
It was kind of silly to just try and make room so anybody could do it, because it's not something that just because you have more room you're suddenly going to be able to do. You got to be Gretzky to do it.
And there was only one Gretzky.
Exactly.
All right. The next rule we'll discuss is the Garth Snow rule. A couple years back, we all know Garth Snow took up the entire net, even though he's like 5'2 and weighed 115 pounds.
I think he was actually a midget.
Yeah, he was the guy they brought in like that White Sox game a while back.
Right, that's right.
He had a change of careers.
Yeah.
And Frank does goalie. So yeah, this is it's really a rule. It's almost not a new rule because it's just hopefully they'll start enforcing the ridiculous pads that people are getting.
So, yeah, it's not gonna change anything big, but it's good to settle down on the pads and keep it, you know, legitimate instead of retarded.
I think it was only fair.
Yep, and it's gonna help the skilled goalies as opposed to the guys who can just get in the way.
Or the biggest guy, or the one with the biggest equipment, right?
Yeah. All right. Along with goalies, is the playing the puck new goalie rules with the little trapezoid behind the net.
What I like to call the anti-Brodeur rule.
Yes, the anti-Brodeur rule.
That's right.
I like this rule. I don't know why. Actually, I changed my mind. I don't like this rule.
Well, that was quick.
Yes, yes, I talk myself out of it just like that. I think the rule should be, if you come out of your crease, you are a player. Expect to be treated as such. I never really liked the rule, or even the unwritten slash written rule, where you can't hit the goalie, you can't screw with the goalie if he's out of the net. If he's out of the net, hey, game on, buddy. That's my thought. But as for this helping speed up play, even Brodeur didn't usually venture out in the corners all the time. So it's useful to try and contain him, but it was pretty much just him. No other goalie really goes out in the corners that much. And some of the ones that do are a hazard to themselves and their team.
And they've already found ways around it. They've already found ways around it. Like Brodeur now just, when he goes out into the corners to get the puck, he stays in front of the goal line, and then he's all set. It's a little more dangerous, but usually he only comes out when no one's coming, so it's not going to be a huge deal.
Right. Well, I think that it was pretty ridiculous that they changed a rule to basically to, you know, hurt one player. And I think that it's a mistake to try and, you know, here's someone who worked on a skill and became more skilled at it than anyone and is an asset to not only his team but the league. Anytime you ever watched a Devils game, if there was a power play and he got the puck, you know he was shooting for the net. There was a buzz in the whole place. And that's what I thought we were trying to get people to watch the game. And I think that was an exciting part of the game and something that people wanted to see was a goalie score or get an assist or anything like that. And I think that it was a detriment. And I also think that, Andy, you mentioned that the rule should be that if you play the puck, be ready to get hit. Is that the rule now? Do you know?
I don't know, but I don't believe so. I still think there's a goalies are special people now.
Yeah, well, it shouldn't be. And if you ever saw a women's hockey game, you'll notice no goalies come out. And it's because we believe that when you go out there, we will hit you and we'll probably hurt you. So you shouldn't be going out there unless you're ready to play the game like everybody else. You get no special privileges if you're outside your little crease.
Exactly. All right, and now this is a fairly controversial topic as far as I heard. Overtime and the shootout. We still have the 5-minute overtime, 4-on-4. In case of ties, now we have a shootout. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I like it. Give me a winner. Give me, you know, especially during the regular season, just give me a winner. And I'm fine with that, however you get to it, and this will get it fit into the TV slots. As far as playoffs go, I hate it. I want them to play until they die or somebody scores. That's what I think.
I love the shootout. Not all the major sports, but a ton of major sports like soccer and stuff live by the shootout. And I think they should keep the rules the same in the season, playoffs, whatever. I like the shootout everywhere. Nothing would be more exciting than Game 7 shootouts. I mean, come on. That would be mint. Stanley Cup being won on a shootout. I think that would rock. But,
well,
you know, that'll probably never happen, but I still think that would be, you know, one-on-one, mano-a-mano. You know, nothing gets better than that. So I wish they would just do it all through and through and even put it in the playoffs.
Well, I don't know if you're aware, but that is how it is in the Olympics. That if it comes right down to they break their overtime and it's still tied, they do go to a shootout. And I think a couple of years ago, the gold medal game did actually go down to a shootout. A couple of Olympics back, I seem to remember Forsberg being involved with it. So maybe it was Sweden, I don't know. But, I mean, you guys know me. I absolutely love the shootout. I loved participating in it when I played. I loved coaching it. There's nothing more exciting than that for me. I like it. But I have to agree with Andy that in the playoffs, I want to see the 4 overtime games. I just like them. So for me, I understand your point, where it probably should be the same way all across, but I just feel like I want to be up at 2 in the morning watching the extra overtimes.
I want to see the best hockey team win, not the best 5 shooters win. All right. Now, all these sweet new rules, offense, 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 is this the demise of the trap? Or will these things not work? Will defense continue to dominate? I don't know. At this point, it's looking like a lot of high-scoring games, 5-4, 7-5. You know, we've had a couple shutouts already, but they seem to be far fewer. Only like 2 or 1 so far. So it's looking like at least the low-scoring games of the past are on their way out.
We have to wait for it to settle down a little bit before we really figure out if this actually creates more higher scoring. Right now, the team that's going to win the most and do the best in the beginning of the season is the most disciplined team because they're going to not get penalties. It's all going to be about penalties in the beginning of the year. If you have a good penalty kill and a good power play, you will do way better than any other team. That's really all you need because there's going to be so many penalties. Everybody's getting used to the rules. Everybody's used to clutching and grabbing. And at least in the beginning of the season, they're going to call everything. So if you have a good power play and a good, basically good special teams will win these games in the beginning. Hands down.
I agree with that. Yes, the power play will win games now. The question is, will the referees continue calling it like they should in the new nothing goes policy? If they continue to do that, or like the last 3 times they said we're cutting back on the clutching, grabbing, and hooking, where it lasted, you know, a game and a half before it was back to normal. If they continue to do that, I believe, yes, your power play will win you tons of games.
If they're serious about keeping the scoring up and bringing out this new hockey, they're going to have to keep enforcing those penalties or it'll just go back to the way it was.
Right.
This has to come down from the top, like coaches and players and – you know, everybody should almost be on the side of the referees where everything should be called and coaches shouldn't be bitching about penalties that are penalties that say, you know, don't change the game, you know, in the last 5 minutes. Don't win the game by a penalty. No, that's bullshit. You gotta not take the grab the guy in the last minute. They should call everything every minute of the game. Just the Bruins game. Perfect example. Bruins kicking the crap out of Montreal all day long. It's tied 1-1 in the third. Montreal's had like 7 penalties, and Bruins have had 7 power plays. You know, got nothing for it. Last minute of the game, some lazy-ass Bruin, I forget which guy it was, hooks somebody, gets a penalty because, you know, he was tired or whatever. You know, Montreal, big power play, goal, last 11 seconds. See, that's how the games are going to be for at least the first beginning of the season. And they should be the whole season. The refs should call it all the way around.
Well, you know what happens, even in the overtime. Forget it. Murder can happen, and they don't call that. So I'm kind of thinking that, you know, like Andy said, we've seen this happen so many times before. Every year they say, well, this year we're really serious. And it ends up, after a week and a half, going back to the same old thing. So, you know, if they have to face the fact that if they want to bring more people into hockey, more fans, they're going to have to keep the stars healthy and wanting to play the game for long periods of time. And if they keep, you know, letting everybody beat up on them, it's just not going to happen. Hockey's going to go nowhere. So I think you're right. From the top down is something that everybody has to make a conscious effort and see that this doesn't help anybody. You know, short term maybe, but long term everybody loses.
Exactly. And speaking of bringing fans to the game, the hockey lost obnoxious amounts of fans because everyone was greedy over the last year. And
right.
In the end, the players got pretty much their ass handed to them by the owners. Some would say, as it should be. They're playing a game. I'd get paid $15 and do it, so that's just me.
one of the biggest mistakes I see the league has made is going with OLN as their TV provider. I think 7 people get this channel. And the game I watched on it, it was definitely reminiscent of old school ESPN. Their production was shady. They're, you know, going to the guys, back to you, John. And John's talking to the producer and stuff like that. And
who
yeah, they're
the announcers on there? Do you know?
They had, I think, the Rangers guy, and they had an ex-player and the ex-Rangers GM from 94 was their desk guys.
Neil Smith? And,
yep, and I forget the 2 actual play-by-play guys.
Davidson?
I don't remember.
Davidson, the guy that says, oh, baby?
Yeah, I think that might have been him.
Yeah.
But,
Ranger goalie.
But, yeah, and even their cameramen were a little shaky. They're definitely new to hockey. But just in general, OLN, I don't think has a hockey viewership. And, you know, unless you get, like, DirecTV or better than basic cable, you're not going to get hockey anymore.
Well, I get OLN.
Yep.
I found that out because I think they also televised the other big sports draw, the Tour de France. And, you know, I don't think it's who gets this channel, but who even knows they have it and who's going to watch it. I don't think anybody's going to watch it at all.
The announcers for OLN are Bill Clement, John Davidson, and Mike Doc Emmerich.
Oh, he's the old devil announcer. He's good. He's very good. But Clement used to be ESPN. And so, Davidson's the guy who we were talking about before.
Yeah. Even if they wouldn't have got as much money in their deal with ESPN, it would have been worth it just for the fan base.
Yep.
Everybody who watches any sports gets ESPN.
That's right. They had. You know what? If they took a bath with the money, well, then they took a bath with the money. But, you know, for their first step after doing something really stupid like the lockout, for the first thing to be signing with OLN and giving up ESPN shows me that they are going in the wrong direction entirely.
The wrong direction, or they just don't know what the hell they're doing.
Well, that's very possible. Because, you know, when you talk about management, you know, they need a real reality check because most people in the U.S. really don't care. And the few that do, you just pissed off half of them by canceling the season. And, you know, I mean, let's face it, there's way too many teams. If the New York area doesn't need 3 or 4 teams, we can't support it. Florida shouldn't have 2. California should not have 3. And Columbus, Ohio, that shouldn't even exist on the planet.
Well, California, doesn't California have as many teams as, say, Canada? Just
yes,
about?
They don't deserve them either. You know, they could save themselves a big chunk of change by getting rid of those Canadian teams. Because for them to travel to those games, think of how much expense that is. You know, for their games just to happen, I mean, they're complaining about losing money. Well, yeah, you got to fly to every away game. You have to fly
true.
For 6 hours.
But you can't really take hockey out of Canada.
But can you take the Canada out of hockey? Because that's what we'd really like to do.
Pretty much, yeah.
Hey.
Take off, Holder. All right. Let's see where we are. We're running up on our 30-minute mark. We just passed it. So we'll take our shots in the dark, and then we'll close it up.
Okay.
What are our picks for the year? Who's going to take the cake this year? I am not sure. Let me look. I have my notes somewhere. All right. Let me go with the East. I'll go with the Eastern Conference first. I am thinking Ottawa. I'm thinking they were good. I like the way they're built, and they're in Canada, so they're good. In the West, I really like. Who do I like in the West? I don't know. I hate the West actually. I don't like anybody in the West. Colorado's good. Will they be good without, what's his name?
Forsberg.
Forsberg, I don't know. Sakic, they have Sakic, though, so they're not too bad. I'm going with Colorado, they're always good, and Ottawa. What do you got, Eric?
For me, for the East, I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. I hate to say it because I hate Pittsburgh, but I think if they keep calling the games well, I think between Lemieux and Crosby, especially on the same line, if they go on the same line, well, actually, they're both centers, never mind.
And they have Gonchar.
I think they were playing together for a while.
Between Pittsburgh is stacked now. They have quite a few good guys. I'm going with them in the East. And with the West, I'm taking the dark horse of Chicago. They picked up some pretty good guys. And they got Hobby Bullen in that now, I believe. And I think they're my dark horse pick. I think I'm picking them to be like, you know, fifth in the West and then come through in the playoffs. So I'm going with Chicago.
Well, I'm going to go with the ever-popular Calgary Flames in the West. And in the East, as much as I hate to say it, I'm going to have to go with the Flyers. Although I think in the final that their lack of goaltending, unless they pick someone up between now and then, is going to peter out, and Calgary's going to take the cup.
So Ant-Man does not think Esch can get the job done.
Nope. Not a
chance. Ish, well, all right.
Well, all right. This was episode one of our Pod Hockey podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will see you next week.
Peace.
All right.
Make him stop it, or we're leaving.
Get your paws off me, Scarface. Stop him.
Stand up. We want the cup. We want the cup.
Everybody is just on your feet, screaming.